the book of Colossians, the epistle to Colossians chapter number 2, Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 4, we'll be studying tonight three verses here. Read down from verse number 4 down to verse number 7, Colossians number 2. In verses number 4 through 7 tonight. Bible now tells us here, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. What does he say? Well, we'll just maybe go back a little bit into verse number 3 and see who he's talking about. He's talking about Christ. He says, in whom, that is in Christ, in Jesus, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, I'm telling you this, is what he means. Lest any man should beguile you, that's trick you, deceive you, with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Walk by faith. That's the title. Walk by faith. We're going to notice tonight three observations about walking in faith. About walking in faith. One of those is this, is that some will try to trick you that there's another way. Some will try to trick you to believing that there's another way. Another way, another observation about walking by faith is this, is that togetherness is seen in difficult times. When you live and walk by faith, you find that your togetherness, your unity with one another in the church and with your family is seen in difficult times. And simply the last one is today, learn to walk by faith. Learn to walk by faith today. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, it says it plain and simple, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I'm always trying to give you good memory verses to give, to put in your brain and everything. That's a good one right there. It's easy, right? It's like Psalm 56:3, where he says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Here he says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Colossians 2:6 is another one of those easy ones right there, where he says there, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus our Lord, so walk ye in him. Worldly way says it like this. I'll believe it when I see it. That's what they'll say. I'll believe it when I see it. But the spiritual man or woman can say this. I'll see it after I believe it. I'll see it after I believe it. The order in the world is always reversed from the spiritual order. The natural order is always reversed. The worldly order is always reversed from what God's order is. There's two orders in this world, but there's only one world. You've got the people's order, you've got the people's order, and you've got God's order. And some people talk about it like that. They call it the New World Order. You ever heard about that? That's something that still goes on today, but it was really brought about really in the 90s and really the 2000s. It was a really big thing. You heard a lot being said even from the White House and from other places. The New World Order, the NWO. Is what it's all been called. But I'm just going to be real frank with you. There is no new world order. There's no new world order. It's always been the same order.
Yeah.
It's always been the same. It's been there since Cain.
Yeah.
That's when it all started. Cain tried to change up the order. And you say, well, I thought Adam and Eve. Well, yeah, Adam and Eve were the first ones that sinned. They did it wrong. But Cain tried to change the thing up. He tried to change the order. Abel said, God told Cain, and he had already explained it to him very well, simple, it's obvious. You say, well, when did he explain it to him? I don't know when he did, but I know he did. All right, it's obvious. Because God told him. He said, he brought the wrong offering. He said, well, wait a second, this is the fruit of my hands. That's the way I work. He said, no, that's the wrong order. The order is this. The way that you do it is this, is that you always bring a blood offering. You bring a blood offering. Now, if you do right, repent, bring a blood offering, Cain, it's all be forgiven, it'll be okay. Things will be good with you and me. But Cain couldn't do it, couldn't he? He was mad. So he kills his brother. Kills his own brother. Cain tried to change the order. And people have always been getting things out of order ever since. It's always getting things out of order. Getting things mixed up, calling this and that, and saying this is good, this is evil, when really that thing is actually good and that thing is actually evil. There's the people's world order and there's God's world order. And make no mistake, if there's one order that people mess up, it's the order of faith. Man, we mess that up. And I personally believe that as Christians, and for a large majority of Christians, and I'll put myself in this case, that oftentimes our faith can be very weak. Our faith can be very weak.
Amen.
And that's just the facts. If it's not weak, it can at least have the tendency to be weak. Amen? We all have the tendency of our faith to be weak. One thing that is hurtful for all of us, and it can be hurtful, I should word it like that. One thing that can be hurtful for all of us is a strong mind and a strong body. You know, one of the things that you find out is that when you oftentimes are calling on God, and the strongest you are in faith is when you've got a weak body and a weak mind. When you really need God, that's when you see your faith begin to grow. You see your faith begin to grow. But we're all guilty of weak faith. If you won't admit that, you're proud. But we're all guilty of weak faith. We all have tried to live by the motto of the world that says, I believe it when I see it. I believe it when I see it. But in one way, faith is not something that can be seen. It's not something that's material. It's not something if I say the word faith, I can't necessarily touch it, can I? I can't see faith. It's not material in that sense. But it manifests itself in material ways. It shows itself out to us in different ways. One of the greatest examples of faith is whenever Abraham sacrificed his son Isaac upon Mount Moriah, and he was about to do it, and he did what God told him to do. That was a manifestation of Abraham's faith to the world, to everybody, to man, to us, to let us see that this man had faith. So when I say that you need to walk by faith, that's kind of like an oxymoron, isn't it? Let's go back to our old English terms. You remember English, right? What is an oxymoron? Well, it's two words or many words or a phrase using contradictory words to describe something. She has demonstrated some very cruel kindness. You know, you ever heard somebody say that? No looks around here, all right? She demonstrates cruel kindness. My favorite oxymoron is this, jumbo shrimp, right? That's an oxymoron. A jumbo shrimp, I mean, it's a shrimp, but it's definitely, I don't care how big it is, right? It's not very big, okay? Jumbo shrimp. Walking by faith, that's an oxymoron. You cannot walk by faith in the world's estimation, or it's... Faith is immaterial to walk into the world, but suppose, what does that have to do with anything? Either I'm going to walk or I'm going to have faith. It doesn't make any difference. What are you talking about, walking by faith? Either you're walking or you have faith. What is it? Well, that's what Cain supposed. That's what Esau predetermined. That's what Saul thought. That's what Eve figured on, or Sarai, or Martha. These all responded in a worldly order. They responded with this thought that I must believe it. If I believe it, then if I see it, then I will believe it. Saul said it like this. He said, well, I see the troops are gathering. I better sacrifice before I don't see Samuel. I better go ahead and sacrifice. Cain thought about it like this. He said, well, I grew all this fruit around here. I mean, surely God would appreciate this. I worked hard for it, right? That's out of order, though. It's out of order. I mean, come on, Jesus. I mean, Martha, can you believe that? I mean, Martha, she just complained to Jesus right there. She kind of got home to him. She nagged him a little bit, didn't she? I'm working here in the kitchen. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Mary's out here just sitting on the floor not doing anything. Come on now. Get her off in here. I know there's times to worship, but come on, this ain't the time. All right? We need to be working in here. Mary, that was a picture of faith. How do we walk? How should we walk? We should walk by faith. Walking by Faith. How do you say it? Well, I know what God told me to do, but... Well, I know what the Bible says, but, you know, Well, I know what pastor said. I know what that preacher said. I know I was convicted about that one. I know what I shouldn't have done, but you just don't understand my... You see? It's all worldly. That's worldly philosophy. Oftentimes, whenever you walk by faith, you live by faith, it oftentimes might not make a lot of sense. It's like a story I heard of a preacher one time. He was new in the ministry and being invited to go preach at another place, another church. And he took up on the opportunity to go, and his wife didn't have very... He left his poor, lonely wife there at the house. Really didn't have a whole lot to eat. Didn't have much to eat. He didn't really realize it. And he was about to leave, and she was getting kind of mad and upset, and she finally said, "You're going to leave me here? You don't even care about me. You don't even leave me anything, any food in the pantry." As the testimony goes, he just right then just got on his knees and said, "Dear Lord, I'm sorry." He said, "Forgive me." He said, "But we need to have some food here for my wife. God, would you please?" The lady's testimony is just real simple. She said, "I just walked away. I didn't even leave." She said, until the phone rang about 5 minutes later. Somebody, "Yes, Her husband picked up and said, yes. All right, well, thank you so much. He said, "Who was that?" She said, "That was the pastor I'm going to go preach for. He thought that instead of paying me after I preach, he wants to pay me before I preach." He brought a $100 bill down to the house right there. Also brought some groceries with him. See, it don't make much sense. See, faith. See, the world says, you know what? You can't do that. You got to go out and work. You got to go out and do something. You got to do something about it. But a Christian can say, "I can just call upon God. My God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills." Got to live by faith. Live by faith. You know, the problem is this, is that as the Bible has taught us here in verse number 4, is that there's a lot of people that are out to trick us into believing there's some other way. Paul says people are going to try to convince you that there's other ways. I like the word he uses there. It means to entice. It means to bait. It means to bait. We've all heard of these schemes called get-rich-quick schemes, right? You know, they try to bait you. Only problem is, on those commercials, is that you can't read the fine print at the bottom, and it's always too fast. It flashes up too fast, you know what I mean? You know, you're trying to read, what did that say right there? Not actual, what is that? Who are these people? Paid representatives, you know?
Paid actors,
or whoever they are. Enticement. They try to make you think that you can believe, that you can please God by other means back than faith. There's other things that you can do to please God. But the Bible says in Romans 14:23, it says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Is sin. That's a tough one to swallow. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. You cannot please God unless you have faith. That's it. Galatians, he says, all foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Same idea right there. But that you should have not obeyed the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only what I learned of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, or am I perfect by the works of the flesh? It's the same argument that he's making here in Colossians. Same exact argument. What are you living by? We're all tempted to believe that life sometimes just doesn't require faith. It doesn't require faith. But God tells us that's wrong. There must be a better way, the world says. Let me say this. Movement is not faith. Movement is not faith. I didn't say a movement. I said movement is not faith. Moving around. If it's your attitude or my attitude that we must believe that there's a better way than faith, then we need to go back and study the old Israelites that walked around in the desert for 40 years. Right? They didn't have faith, and yet they walked in circles for 40 years. They were moving. They were going from place to place. Hey, they were even out of bondage, amen? They were out of Egypt. They were no longer underneath that rule anymore, but they walked for year after year after year after year, 40 long years in the desert. And for us as believers, when we don't walk by faith, we walk in circles. You're moving, but you're not going anywhere. You know what I mean? Movement is not faith. No doubt, there is much movement in church today. There's a lot of movement. There's a lot of activity in church. You can have a lot of activity in a church and be no faith in a church. You know that? You can have a lot of things going on, but be no faith. No faith at all. That's what happened to the group there in Ephesus in Revelation chapter number 2. Jesus even asked a very tough question in Luke 18:8. He says this. He says, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Will he find faith? This is an observation about faith, about walking in faith, is that there's people out there that will trick us and will trick ourselves, perhaps even believing that movement is faith. Let me say this, religion is not faith. Religion is not faith. You know, you can come to church, read your Bible, pray, and you can do all that without faith. Do you know that? You can do that without faith. You can follow God's law and not have faith. You can give money and not have faith. You can try to evangelize and have no faith involved. Just turn to Matthew 5 and 6 and read over those chapters sometime, and you'll find the Jews were trying to do all of those things that I just mentioned and had no faith at all. They were completely religious, but no faith. No faith. Religion is not faith. All that is religion, and religion doesn't please God. What pleases God is pure religion. Now, I'm not here to talk about that, but James 1:27, go look it up sometime. Now, there is a difference. Pure religion and just plain out religion. Just believing is not faith. Just believing is not faith. Well, how is that so? You must walk by faith, you say. Well, there must be some substance to faith. Besides that, how's faith going to show itself? Faith always shows itself. Did you know that? It always shows up. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Let me show you this real quick. Let me show you a very small instance of how faith can show up. This is perhaps one of the first instances in which it shows up in our lives. Romans chapter 10, verse number 8. It says here, Romans 10. He says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, it's near thee, it's close to you, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." Paul says this is the word of faith. It's the word of faith movement right here, Brother Luke, right here. Here's the word of faith movement. You know what the word of faith movement is? "That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all and is rich unto all that call upon him." Amen for that. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There's three or four examples of faith right there in that passage. Preaching the faith. But there's two little instances of faith right there that show itself very plainly. Just very small, but it shows itself out. See, some people say, "Well, I believe, well, the devils believe and tremble too," okay? Always remember that. I believe. And some people, that's all they say. "Well, I've done all of that. I've prayed. I've had my baptism. I'm all good. I'm done with Jesus and God, though. I mean, I'm all good, though, right? It's all over with. I believe." But see, it's always manifested itself. He says here, he says, you not only believe with your heart, but you also what? Confess with your mouth. You confess with your mouth. What do you confess? You confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. You confess that He died for my sins and that He rose again the third day. He says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For it's very plain. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then he tells us that in verse number 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's an example of faith. Amen? When somebody says, dear Lord, please save me. Well, you've exemplified your faith, because here it is. It's coming out. It's being seen. But did you see another example of faith in verse number 11? Whosoever, but the scripture also said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whenever you get saved, I'll tell you, no true believer in Jesus Christ says, I'm all good, I've said the prayer, I've done everything, I don't really need to follow it. No true believer says that. They follow God. They're not ashamed. There's a desire to live for God now because of what He's done for them. And finally, I'll say this about this first point, is that living for myself is not faith. Living for this life is not faith. Living for material possessions is not faith. Living for this life, as I said, is not faith. These are all messages that I could preach tonight too, but I'll just say it in one verse. While we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen, because why? For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's move on. Number two, second observation, togetherness in tough times is seen when you walk by faith. Living by faith is seen when you're walking through a difficult valley, difficult time, especially in a church. Colossians 2, verse number 5, he says here, he says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith. That's very interesting. You know, some have said that life oftentimes is a mixture of faith and doubt. Well, I don't doubt that statement at all. I don't know if that's the way it's supposed to be. Kind of believe that God would like us to live a life of faith all the time. Amen? But there's probably some truth in that statement, because I think that's the way we oftentimes live. There's faith and there's doubt. There's a mixture. But a true believer, when he comes to doubt, is able to come overcome doubt by faith. Paul said, I'm joyful to see your faith, though I'm absent from you. Here was a church whose faith was seen, even though he was not there to see it. So I just ask two questions here with this particular verse and this particular point. Can people see your faith? Think about that. Can people see your faith? Walking by faith. If you're walking by faith, it ought to be seen, right? It ought to be evident. It ought to be out there. I know it's an oxymoron, but at the same exact time, it's exactly true. Walking by faith. Absent in the flesh, he says, present in the spirit. He tells them, I'm with you in my heart. My heart is with you. I know you. I've heard about you. Go back to Colossians chapter 1. We won't take the time to read it, but you can go back there and see in verses 1, 3, and 4, and 5 that he's talking to them about how he's heard about them, how Epaphras has been talking to him about them. How, you've said this before, haven't you? You say, I'm with you in heart, right? Have you ever said that to somebody? I'm with you in heart. How do you be with somebody in heart? What's the best way? You know how? Pray for them. Pray for them. You know what? You can be closer to somebody praying for them than you can FaceTime them. You can be closer to somebody praying for them than you can texting them, Skyping them, calling them on the telephone. God knows how to give His children good things. How many times has He given us an assurance and a pleasure in knowing that everything's going to be all right when we were on our knees? Amen? We knew it was going to be okay because we were on our knees. It's a great story about Hudson Taylor. Whenever he got saved, great missionary to China, he got saved because one night his mom had gone to, and some friends of theirs had gone to a meeting of some sorts, and her mom was pulled away by the Spirit of God out of the meeting to go pray for her son. Just an intense desire to pray for her son, Hudson. She left the meeting and found a small place all by herself and just began to pray for him and pray for him and pray for him. And at that moment, she suddenly experienced a great overwhelming peace in her heart. She was miles away from the house. She wouldn't be returning until the next day. She got up and went back to the meeting. Little to her knowledge, what was happening back at the Taylor's house is that along about that same time that she was praying, that Hudson had reached over to the bookcase and pulled out a little pamphlet, kind of like one of those I gave Melissa tonight, about Jesus Christ and the cross. He sat down as a 17-year-old boy and he began to read over that. He began to get convicted. And by himself, in his own house, he prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save him. When his mom came home, he said, "Mom, I've got to tell you something." She said, "I already know you got saved." She said, "How'd you know?" He said, "I was praying for you at the exact same time. God gave me assurance." You say, "People, you think people can know that?" I think so. I know so. I believe so. That's faith, my friend. That's faith to be able to save, as he said in verse number 5, "Though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit." I'm with you. I am with you. I'm joying and beholding your order and your steadfastness in what? In your faith. So the second question is not only can people see your faith, but secondly, let me ask you this. Can people rejoice over your faith? That's another big one right there. That's another hurdle to cross, right? And if the one hurdle is people to see your faith is, you know, this high, the barrier for people to rejoice over your faith is probably this high. I mean, it's a different level. It's a different experience. It's a different thing in our life to have us people rejoicing over our faith. And he said, "I rejoice over your order, over how you're doing things, how you're performing things." I want to ask you, let's just break it out into our church here and just say this. Would people rejoice over our church? Would they rejoice in our faith? I think that's a good question to ask, but I think I can answer that in the positive. Long before any of these mega churches decided to go back to church, we were already having 3 services a week. I mean, we got somebody in Italy, and then they're coming to church because they can't find a church that's open. We had vacation Bible school, and everybody else said, "We're not going to have vacation Bible school," but we saw people get saved. Amen. And I don't know, that's not that I'm not afraid of a virus, or I don't want to put people's health in jeopardy or anything like that, but we just kind of believe in the Lord around here. Amen. Kind of believe in Jesus Christ. That God is good, and all the time, and all the time that God is good. That he's given us a commandment, and that he's given us a word to assemble together, to meet and to talk and to tell people about Jesus Christ and to let people know that he still saves. I think people would be rejoicing over that matter. To know that matter. Just talked to Brother Tom here today. He said he talked to a preacher in North Carolina that he's supposed to go to and help out. And he said, "Brother, we don't have any children's ministries going on right now. No children's ministry." I thought, how sad. And that's just not his church. That's all kinds of churches all over the place. I tell you what, folks, we've got people coming to our church that need to be saved. We've got people coming that need help. We need to stay steadfast. We got to stay steadfast. And this is my group here. This is our group here tonight. That's their steadfasters right here. And I appreciate your steadfastness. Got my Sunday school teachers here tonight. You're staying steadfast. You need to stay with them. You're an example. You're an encouragement. People see you here every Sunday. That's faithfulness. They say, "She's here, he's here, that family's here. We know they'll be here." That's encouragement for people. You say, "Why don't they come?" That's not your business. I had to learn that a long time ago. Even as a pastor, I had to learn that's not my business. That's not my business. My business is to encourage them, exhort them. Sometimes I have to rebuke them.
But nonetheless, is that I can't make a judgment every single time. I mean, I'm going to have to let God lead on some things. There is a thing in the Baptist distinctive. It's called the individual soul liberty. And we do believe the people of God have the Holy Spirit of God. Do you think more people should be at church than I preacher? I always think more people should be at church. I don't care if the house is packed and everything. It wouldn't matter. I don't know that you're a real minister of God if you said, man, all right, every pew is full and every guy, I'm good. I don't think we need any more people here at church. You know what I mean? My grandpa was preaching, man, I'll tell you what, they had the pews packed. They had the windows open and chairs outside so people could sit outside and hear the Word of God being preached. You think 3,000 was enough for Peter and for Peter? I don't think it was, because what did he do? He went out a couple of weeks later and preached again and saw 5,000 get saved. It's never enough. What did Charles Wesley write? What did he say? He said, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. I mean, I wish I had 1,000. I wish I had 10,000. It wouldn't be enough, though, would it? It'd never be enough. I mean, if we had 1,000,000 tongues to sing our great Redeemer's praise, all put together, it wouldn't be enough. He deserves more than that. He deserves it all. Did they see steadfastness? Did they see our order? I hope so. And finally, today, keep walking by faith. Just encourage you with this. Don't stop walking by faith. Keep walking by faith. You know what it means to walk by faith? You know what he says here? Look what he says. It's real simple. The Bible is real simple to understand. For us that are saved, and for a lost man, it's difficult. You don't understand the Word of God. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in. Okay, ask yourself this question. How did you receive Christ? How did you receive him? Go ahead.
By faith.
Class? All right. By faith. Yeah. Or by grace are you saved? Through faith. Through faith. That's how you receive Christ. You receive Him through faith. You took the avenue called the faith to God. And it was grace that showed you the way. And you got a bus ticket from Jesus and you rode with Him. That's the only way you're going to get there. You didn't buy it, of course. He was giving it to you. You couldn't just walk there. You had to hitch a ride with Christ. And you walked on the avenue of faith and you got to heaven. You got to Him because what is it that saves you? What is it that, how did you receive Christ? By faith. And so He says, now walk that way. Don't stop living. That's how you were saved. That's the greater of the matter. The lesser of the matter is now how you walk in Him. Now walk in Christ. Walk in faith. Walking is a symbol of your daily activity. Technically, we all should have came to church tonight by faith. If you had to get any kids ready to come to church, you definitely came by faith. If you should have come to church by faith. By faith. Every single thing that you do. That means that you came here expecting to get something from God. And you also came here expecting to help somebody else. It means you came here to praise the Lord. It means you came here to sing. It means you came here to help. You did it by faith. Because you believe God. Because you know that your faith is not just a religion. It's not just something you do. I just don't come to Wednesday night service because that's just what I do. It's actually living out what you believe. And then simply live in the faith of Jesus Christ. Don't be turned aside to other things. How many have turned aside to other things? They think it's, well, this next church, this new teacher, this new group, this new movement, or this great book, or whatever it is. It's the best thing on earth. It's changing lives. It's really impacting people. And people are just talking to it. It's great. Next thing you know, when you hear somebody talking like that, they're on to something else, and to something else, and to something else, and to something else. How many times have I talked to people like that? I wish I could record. I wish I had a tape recorder, and I could record their conversation. And about every 5 years, I could record their next conversation. Then about 2 years later, I could record their next conversation. About the fourth, fifth time they came to me and tell me, I said, I got something to play back for you here. And I could just play back all those conversations to them. this is the best thing I ever, this is the best thing, this is the best, this is the best. I've never heard. And they begin to realize, you know what? I wish people could just begin to just stay settled and grounded and rooted in faith. Not be convinced by enticing words or empty philosophy or self-help or motivational encouragement or fleshly teaching lure them away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lure them away from a church that's preaching the Word of God, teaching God's Word unashamedly, trying to tell people about Jesus Christ for these many years. We need to let people see our faith, rejoice in it, and be encouraged in our faith, so that they may be encouraged to live by faith themselves. How did you receive Jesus Christ? By faith. Now, walk ye in Him. Walk ye in Him. It's called the path of faith. And it's the only path that leads to God. That's it. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Walk by faith, not by sight. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in by faith. Father, help us to walk by faith. Live